This is pretty dope.
Queens unapologetically us.
Hey guys, what's up? Hope everybody's having a beautiful evening and had a beautiful day. The way. So, I had an interesting day.
How was your day?
It was interesting. I got a lot of stuff done productively, which I can't even complain about.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, no, you gotta work out some shit. Don't chase your dreams, just do them. It's better to just do them. You're not gonna lose or miss out on anything if you just try. Not trying is failing, so it's best to try and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. But yeah, I had a pretty productive day as far as doing different projects and handling certain things, doing adult shit. It's nice when you do adult shit.
It is nice when you do adult shit.
Yeah. I notice when people don't do adult shit, you kind of feel shitty.
Yeah, because you're like, well, fuck back. I do shit. I mean, sometimes though, like, there's obviously the times you need a break and you're like, I just need to relax. I've been stressed or I've just been doing too much. Like, but especially during this, quote, pandemic, where we're mostly home, it's hard to feel productive when you're like, well, there's not anything to do. Like, I don't have anything to do right now. I'm not working, or I am working and I did my work and I don't have anything else to do, but there's still more hours in the day, more days in the week.
Yeah, I think
I mean, especially as we're coming up on, we have two more weeks till the end of the, I think, the next year.
Yeah, I think the pandemic affected everybody.
Well, yeah,
but like it affected some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I wasn't totally affected by it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, being an entrepreneur is a little bit easy to adjust to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't say it did slow down certain things, but I didn't completely just stop, which is good.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been that type to not really focus on a job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like a slave when I have a job, I'm not gonna lie. I don't like working for other people.
Yeah,
not that I don't.
All this work just to have
you're taking
taxes
care.
Taken out.
Just basically, the person that owns that company that you work for is writing your checks and you paying their mortgage and doing all that. You working hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not working hard for yourself. So, I don't know. I think at a young age, I kind of made my choice of wanting to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wanting my own business. I think in high school, I always thought about it and always considered it. I wasn't really the type to really listen to that, oh, go get a job and settle for a job and do this and go to school. Like, I don't know, I'm a creative mind, so I don't think my mind worked that way.
Yeah.
Even at a young age. Like, I would dish just to go to art museums and do artsy things. So I don't think I would have even finished college if I really wanted to go.
Like, really pursued it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, even if I would have went for art, I don't even think I would want my degree. I know so many people that went to school for art and was an art major and don't even work in the field that they got their art.
I mean, that's like, that's so many degrees people like,
yeah,
not doing what they.
And this is before the pandemic, so yeah. To me, my whole thought on school, you do not need a college degree to pursue what you want to do in life. Trust me, it's just a piece of paper.
You need to be educated.
Yeah, you need to be educated in that field.
Whether you take some classes or you go out and intern and study under somebody, whatever.
Like, you know who John Henry Clark is?
No.
Like, John Henry Clark, this man ended up becoming a professor, got a doctorate, and he was self-taught. He did not go to school. He did not go to college. He ended up dying blind and broke, but John Henry Clark educated a lot of people in the black community about our own community and our own history. He read so many books. The key is reading, man. Educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's gonna educate you. So always,
and nobody can take that away.
Yeah, I always push read, because that's all you do in school is read. They're teaching you how to study on your own. So really, you don't need them. You just need to know how to read. And I mean, there's a lot of kids that don't know how to read in our community.
There are.
and it's not their fault. And I mean, I don't blame the parents, because the parents probably don't know how to read either. It was never taught. So no, it's just generational curses. We have to focus on that to better ourselves as a community. Generational curses, man. Be trying to tell people. It's a real thing.
It is.
Just like mental health.
It's...
all these things coexist with each other. So.
But even that, it kind of like segues into our topic. Exactly. Generational attributes, as far as like you telling your son or your daughter that they have to follow this path because they're a girl, or because they're a boy, or because they're black, or they're Hispanic, or they're, you know, whatever it is, you have to fall in line with what society says your box is.
Exactly.
When you could check multiple boxes, or you could check no boxes. Like, I still, people ask me all sorts of questions, like, well, I don't put labels on anything. I don't put labels on myself.
Yeah, I don't put labels on myself.
I don't put it, as far as, like, you know, obviously my race, I'm black, like, yeah. That's a thing.
Those are, like, those are
but
common
my
sense.
Sexuality, yeah. I don't put a label on that. Yeah, my relationships, it's my partner. I don't put really, you know, labels on those either. Like,
I think, as far as sexuality goes, I think it's more of some people identify with certain things, some don't. There's just like genres of music, or everything is not normal. There is no normal.
Yeah. It's also, it's not cookie cutter. It's,
yeah, it's not cookie cutter. It's not black and white.
There's lots of overlap, yeah. Like, with music. There's overlap with all sorts of, you know.
It's so many different things. Everybody's different. I've always said that. Everybody's their own individual. Everybody thinks differently. So everyone thinks differently. So now we're at the point of masculinity and sexual identification and emotions. How do we handle those things, especially in the black community with black males and females?
Yeah.
Because females do play a part in this too. So don't think it's just on the males' hands, like they're just the only ones that have to take care of it because it's masculinity. No, women have sons.
Yeah, and possibly raising them on their own.
Exactly.
They're telling them what they feel a man is.
It is. And sometimes, like that saying, there's no handbook for raising kids. There is not, but there's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a discussion about this with my mother and male masculinity and raising kids and teaching them certain behaviors and how to deal with different emotions, and how sometimes some of the things parents tell their kids aren't right, and they kind of, you know, forget that in reality what their parents taught them gave them problems in their adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So especially with male masculinity, I think in a lot of black communities, males are told to just suck everything up and don't show no emotion, don't cry, don't. And that's, people are human. Males are human. I think society tends to make us forget that in a lot of different ways.
We forget that we all have the same emotions. We all go through the same range of emotions. And yes, we show them differently, but the literal act of crying shouldn't be construed as, you're a pussy because you cried. You're not a man. Suck it up. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, nah, I cry because my arm is broken. Like, a little boy can't cry because his arm's broken. Like,
no, you're supposed to suck that up.
Or he's dead for some reason. Like, it's so, and as I was talking to you about earlier today, I know somebody whose husband told her, suck it up, stop crying, be a man.
Yeah.
When she's going through some a real deep shit, like with an ex trying to figure out custody over their child.
Yeah.
And you as a man are telling your wife to be a man and stop crying, like, that's,
I feel like identity roles, and now in this society a lot of people be like, oh, there shouldn't be any titles, or there shouldn't be identity roles.
Yes and no.
There's toxic identity roles.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to pay attention to these toxic identity roles. Everybody's human. So therefore, when there's a situation when a woman is sad about something, you don't sit there and tell her to suck that shit up, bro. Especially if it has to do with her child, her family, anything. You want to be a moral support in any relationship. Mm-hmm. I even feel like telling a man to suck it up in certain situations is kind of harsh.
It is. Like, the...
It's
saying that their emotions aren't valid, that they can't feel those things.
Exactly. And it tends to... when you tell a child, especially a male child, when they fall, get up and suck it up, and they done really, like, mess themselves.
Busted their
up.
Shit.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. Because as a man, yeah, you want to be rough and tough, and you want to be able to take certain pain. I get it. But emotionally wise... There was a commercial of a black boy crying in the bathroom over a girl not too long ago. They stopped actually playing this commercial. And his dad was sitting outside the bathroom while he was crying in the bathroom and told him, I totally understand what you're going through right now. And it's okay. I've been there. You'll find another girl. What that dad was doing was reassuring him that he was not alone. And him crying was perfectly okay because he had his heart broken. His feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
It's not always about sucking it up and rolling with the punches. People are different. Everybody has feelings. So to me, like, there's times where I done told... like even my male cousins to suck it up, and I don't feel bad for telling them that because life can be really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It can. You get knocked down so many times and be like, dang, this shit hurts, man. I don't want to keep going through this pain. I think males in society, when they fail, they're supposed to like hide their emotions with it.
Mm-hmm.
Females, not so much. Because females are more, okay, I failed, okay, it's okay.
But we're considered more emotional. We're the emotional sex.
Yeah.
So, like, we're supposed to be sad. We're supposed to be all these things, except for we get talked about when we do show all those ranges of emotions.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so emotional.
You're so emotional.
You're always
Why are you being so dramatic?
So it's like, as women, we can't show all these emotions. And as men, they can't show any of the emotions except for anger. That's the only one that seems to be acceptable. Yeah. Is that, oh, well, he's a man. Of course he's, oh, and he's a boy. Of course
and
he's
that's
angry.
The thing. My mother told me, like, oh, yeah, you know, back in the day, you never seen a man cry. And to me, I was like, what? You never seen a man cry before. Back in the day, like the 60s, you know, 50s. 80s, you know, around that time, old school, you never seen a man cry. Those were hardworking men. They didn't cry, they didn't show any emotion. And that, to me, I took it away by it, but then I sat back and thought about domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And how some of those situations where a man not showing his emotion will take it out on his family.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get out your emotions. Was to put your hands on your wife or your kids.
I think we don't talk about it, a lot of things in the black community because, man, so many reasons why.
I feel like people
Have you ever been told, what goes in this house stays in this mm-hmm. house? That's the black. You grew up in a black household. That's the most. What goes on in this house stays in this house. You do not repeat what goes on in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think that saying resonates with a lot of black children. And it's kind of crazy because me hearing that as a child, seeing certain things, and it kind of programs you into seeing things, and the way you process it, you take it in, and not saying anything or not venting about it, you create traumas within your household.
So I remember watching, it was either Dateline or 60 Minutes. And it was probably 60 Minutes, but it was, so they were doing this like comparison of like, okay, if in public you saw a white couple, a white man and a white woman, and the white man is like yelling at his wife. He's like grabbing her. Obviously, it's actor portrayals or whatever. But yeah. the white male is grabbing the white woman's arm and like getting aggressive with her, and seeing what in the park, seeing what passerbyers do. So this like people will come up and be like, you know, sir, you can't do that. Like that's not okay. Like you never put your hands on a woman.
Yeah.
And so then hours later at the same park, they have a black couple. Mm. And the black man is doing the same thing, yelling at the woman, putting his hand in her face, grabbing her, you know, roughly or whatever. And there's an older white guy and a younger white guy, maybe father and son, mm-hmm. and they come up, and the white guy is like, the older guy, is like, sir, there's a time and place for everything. You should do that at your house. Mm. And it was like, wait, so the white man can't beat on the white woman, but the black man can, do that at home. Yeah. We know there's domestic issues going on, but don't do that here. It's a time and place for that. And it was like, wow,
the funny fact is, domestic violence does not come from the black community. it's very funny to me when people be like, oh yeah, that's what happens in black homes. Domestic violence is not.
I mean, it happens in everybody's home,
but I'm gonna be very, very blunt and very honest, because most people that know me know I am, and I don't really care. You could take what I say and you could not like it. I don't care. But what I'm about to say is, in our culture, we didn't just come up with this behavior. You take a race, I mean, they're gonna do what they're taught. If you really think about domestic violence and where the stem comes from, think about slavery, you feel me? We didn't whoop our kids. Where did whooping come from? All these things have meanings and create trauma. It's one of those like, dang, we learned this from our masters. Mm-hmm. We didn't unlearn this. If you learn something, you're gonna carry it with you. Whipping, you whip your child. Whipping, they whip slaves. So where do you think we actually learned this from? We weren't whipping our kids in Africa and stuff like that. I never even said that. Egypt was the highest civilized place on this earth at one point in time. So I doubt they whipped their kids if their IQs were so damn high. I'm pretty damn sure they didn't. But to understand domestic violence, and I think like I seen general curses within my own family that made me like, wow, like this is actually a real thing. Mm-hmm. This is actually a problem in society, not just in my home and a lot of my friends' homes. I've seen certain things that was just like, wow, why don't we talk about these things? Why don't we try to work on these things as a community, try to understand where male masculinity and aggression and all these things come from?
But people have to like, they have to even come to the realization that it's abuse or that it's a problem.
Yeah.
Like I won't say whether people are friends or family for their own, you know, discretion, but this person who was in an abusive marriage was like, oh, well, it's not like, not like he just like beat me, like, you know, I fought back. Like, well, it's not about you fighting back. I know you want to seem,
that's
you,
not the
you
want to
be strong.
Exactly.
But your children are watching your husband put his hands on you. He's threatening you through your kids, telling your child, oh, I'm gonna murder your mom in her sleep, so she better watch out. But doesn't think anything's wrong, doesn't think that that's gonna affect her daughters, who hopefully don't go seek partners who are like their dad, and her son who at 2 years old is putting his hands on his sisters and other females around him. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do if I find out that at 15 your son has a girlfriend that he's beating on.
It's crazy because I just had a conversation with somebody. Like, I'm not saying any names. But it was more of the person told me, because the situation is domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. And what they told me was, in my mind, I'm not with this person. But in reality, you're with this person every day. So being with this person every day changes the game. To take yourself and put yourself in a situation, a lot of people don't pay attention to the signs of abuse and toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. They kind of ignore the signs, and they can ignore them for years and not even pay attention to it. And it's kind of like, wow, everybody else sees it, but they don't. And that's the signs of an abusive person. When the person told me that, I had to really sit back. I instantly thought about, like, wow, this person, in their mind, they're not with this person. But in reality, they see this person every day. They live with this person. So mm-hmm. you are with this person. But you created a defense mechanism, a blockage. You're blocking it out, which is very unhealthy. And the signs of an abused person. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to always block out the toxicness. If it's there, you're supposed to do something about it and remove it. You don't sit there and wait for that person to change. Because when somebody shows you who they are, that's who they are.
Who was it that said that? When somebody shows you who they are the first time, believe them? I forget woman said that.
I forget. But
it's
the truth.
100%. Like, people will show you
who they are.
Sometimes, yeah, they hide that shit for a while. Yeah, but when you don't ignore red flags.
Those red flags are there for a reason. That person's not for you.
You're picking up on them for a reason. Like, that's yeah. That's your body.
And I remember
telling you to watch out for some shit.
I was told there's no seasons of struggle. Hmm. That's gonna go over some of y'all heads, but I'm gonna explain it to you. There's no seasons of struggle, which means if you're going through a situation with somebody, a relationship, a friendship, somebody you're dating, boyfriend, girlfriend, it does not matter. If there's struggle, a lot of people are like, well, you know, a relationship takes work, but if it's struggle to the point where it's all automatic.
Oh, sorry, Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
I thought that was her.
Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. If somebody shows you who they are, that's who they are. So thank you, Maya Angelou. Respect you, love you, and we all miss you, for real, because, man, gem to this world. But yeah, if you don't notice those signs, and a lot of people don't, and it's not your fault if you don't, but if you, there's no seasons of struggle. If somebody's putting you through hard times in your life is already hard. You don't want someone to make it hard for you.
Mm-hmm. They should be
bringing you peace, alleviating. Yeah.
Like,
being that person that, okay, yeah, we're going through this, but okay, let me help.
Yeah.
If somebody can't do that, then that's a struggle. And you pick and choose. Like, you know, sometimes I think people get comfortable and settle. Mm-hmm. And I recently seen something that said, never get too comfortable. And it just made me look at a lot of different situations. I never get too comfortable. My best friend knows me. I move around a lot. At the age of 30, I've been to a lot of places. And I think it's because of my own personal issues. And I learned how to, not even self-destruct. Some people take trauma differently. I think in my mind, and just my sign alone, I learned how to, okay, this is not working, let me get up and move around. Mm-hmm. I was told at a young age by one of my friend's stepfather, like, yo, you run from something, it's always gonna be there. And this is when I moved away to San Diego.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what he was saying. I was like, what is he talking about? But he knew the situation, and he knew what was going on. So I kind of was like, I heard him, but I wasn't listening. Mm-hmm. And I always carried it with me because I didn't understand it. You know how you think about something here and there that somebody's told you, and it always popped up in my head, but I never took it to heed until I actually came back from New York. if you run away from something and don't face it, mm-hmm. it's always going to be there. Yeah. And people run away in different ways. Just like the person told me, in my mind, I'm not with this person. But you live with this person. In your mind, you're running away. In your mind, you created this boundary, but it's not reality. In my mind, I created to be like, oh, okay, well, man, it's not working out here. I'm out. It's a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to face things. I've faced so many other things that at this point, like me facing things that I don't really worry about too much anymore because I'm older now. Mm-hmm. So I know how to handle things a little bit better. But yeah, you can't. I think people don't like being vulnerable.
I mean, it's scary. Like, I get it. I have a hard time, like, being vulnerable, but that's because of being, you know, screwed over so many times yeah. and being let down so many times. And then it's scary to, like, put yourself back out there. But I'm like, oh, if I want to have a successful relationship, if I want to get married, if I want to have a family, if I want these things, I have to learn to be vulnerable. But it's picking the person that I'm vulnerable with, like, and making sure that that's the right person that I need to let in to me, like, to get to know me, like, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it can be hard.
I always I think I'm the most genuine person. I try to be. Mm-hmm. I'm very transparent with everyone. I don't know, I think it's better that way for me. But then at the same time, you always have that, like, damn, am I being too vulnerable? Am I being too open? There's no such thing as being too open. You are who you are. Life is going to hurt regardless. Mm-hmm. And certain situations make you stronger. That's what it's supposed to do. I think as a community, we don't sit there and really adjust situations or talk about them. And it's crazy because I always be like, dang, there's so many talk shows and so many things, but... like, within the Black community, we still don't talk about really big issues that we have. We kind of talk around them. We, like, mental illness. Yeah, we bring it up, but we don't talk about, like, certain shit. Like, having domestic violence is pretty much... when you tell a man to suck it up, where do you think his emotions are going?
They're getting bottled up until it explodes, and whoever happens to be there is gonna get that wrath.
Gosh. Yeah,
like
exactly.
Whether it's, you know, partner or children or siblings, whoever, you know, if it's somebody who's young enough and they're still with their family.
Yeah, if he doesn't know how to control his emotions and channel those emotions and put that energy into something positive, or have never been taught that, what do you think is going to happen? It's common mm-hmm. sense. And I think society kind of, they talk about it, but you don't talk about the root of the problem. If we just tell men to suck it up, just like women, we tell, especially Black women, we're the most abused thing on this earth. To understand where the word bitch comes from. That word, people, it's a trigger for me. I don't like it. Don't ever call me no bitch. Period, point blank. I do not care. That is a trigger for me, and I will say that so many times because knowing where the word comes from and knowing me as a Black woman, I'm not no animal. Mm-hmm. The history behind the word bitch is very demeaning and degrading, and just the word bitch was so that basically it was describing a slave, a woman, one slave. They use this word to describe her, like describing a dog. The English language is so disrespectful. If people really understood that this word was created just for one Black woman to sell her and to describe her as a dog, and that she had litters, not babies, litters. So it goes both ways. I feel like our community, to hear it in rap song, now that I'm older, I'm like, man, I don't really listen to hip hop no more. That's not my go-to no more.
Yeah.
It's degrading. Like, songs now that are played on the radio, a lot of artists don't understand, like, we don't need that right now as a black community. Enough is enough, you feel me? Like, I appreciate the club bangers and, you know, I appreciate that. Thank you. You did it for the culture, but at the same time, you have to understand why they push those types of records. If we call ourselves bitches and hoes, and how you think any other race is gonna respect us? For real, for real. Like, come on, man. We're degrading ourselves. We're allowing the abuse. We're not really thinking outside the box, like, damn, okay, well, you know, I know I'm not this. But society, this is what society is painting the picture of. Stereotypes, at this point in time, no, you should not have stereotypes. But as far as a black woman, I'm always going to be stereotyped. Because that's what history did in America. So when you call a black woman a bitch, you better understand what you're doing. It's not a good thing. It might make you feel masculine. It might make you feel good to do it. But that's an insecurity within yourself. I feel like men don't like to get rejected. Like, have you ever rejected somebody and they're like, oh, you a bitch. Fuck you then.
Like, but I thought I was all...
But you just told me I was pretty and a whole bunch of other shit. Like, come on, man. So dealing with those types of emotions, you feel me? As a man, that don't make you a man degrading no woman, yo. That make you look like a clown-ass nigga. For real, for real. And I'm not saying that because I'm a woman. I'm saying that because even if I was born a man, I still wouldn't put my hands on a woman or degrade her. Because I came from a woman. And you have to understand how society built this whole culture. We're basically having somebody else tell us what our culture should be. And that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Somebody that basically doesn't even like you for the color of your skin, you're allowing them to tell you what you should be and how you should act and how you should treat people in your community. I'm fucking crazy. To me, it's like we're not thinking on our own. We're not even thinking about our communities half the time. Like, there's girls that's been thrown in dumpsters and, like,
that was fucking crazy.
Like, yeah.
During those riots.
Yeah,
girls back in the summer.
Girls have been thrown.
That guy hit her with a skateboard.
Yeah, smacked her in the face with a skateboard. Like, you mean to tell me?
Like, knocked her out and dumped.
Because the girl didn't want to give her his number. Like, that's crazy. Because over a number, you basically knocked this girl unconscious. It
going back to not being able to express your emotions, not being able to, like, okay, I don't want to seem like I'm weak, so I have to do something. Like, you want, no, you actually don't.
Yeah, you want to
walk away.
You want to look good in front of your homies and look like you that nigga.
Like, you can, somebody can be like, no, I'm not interested. Okay, thanks for.
But you don't understand if you
walk away.
But see, this is the thing,
cool,
though.
Peace.
If you knew how a woman's mind worked. And those are I take that as boys, little boys. Your mind hasn't fully developed yet. Or it might not ever develop because, you know, some men don't have father figures in their lives. So you don't really know how to be a man. You will grow up, there'll be grown ass men that are still boys mentally. So
it's crazy because it's like it has to do with so much because, like, I was raised by my mom.
Yeah.
My dad wasn't in the picture. Yeah. He was, like, there, like, at family stuff, but he wasn't in the household every day. He wasn't in the household at all.
At all, yeah.
After I was five. Mm. I had two brothers and a sister, so it's two boys and two girls. And I think my brothers turned out very well mm-hmm. for not having my dad around or whatever. So it's like, yeah, there were things that they missed out on not having my dad around. There's things that my sister and I missed out on not having our dad around. But my brothers aren't beating on women. My brothers aren't like treating women like trash. Like, but that was also my mom's doing. Like, my mom didn't have boyfriends. My mom didn't have men coming in and out of her house. She wasn't, you know, showing us these like negative attributes of a woman. So then my brothers, or me and my sister doing stuff that, you know, my brothers don't respect us for, or vice versa. My mom telling my brothers that this is what a man does, and if you don't do it, you're not a man. Like, so I don't know. It's, sorry, I kind of lost my place there. Like, it comes a lot onto the women who are the moms who are raising these boys to not respect women, not respect themselves, or, you know, again, not having an emotional outlet outside of sports. Like, yeah, you get your frustration out on the football field or the basketball court or whatever, you know, sport that you're playing, but you don't have any other type of like outlet that's not physical, because then that's conditioning you to let your emotions out physically, not like, okay, well, I write down in a notepad, and that'd be a journal, but like I write shit down, my yeah, feelings, whatever. Feelings. I like to paint, so I paint my yeah, emotions. Whatever. Like,
it's a way of expressing yourself.
It's yeah. getting physical, you know, you're physically moving and getting energy out, but you're not beating onto somebody to get that out. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like that's a big deal, and people just don't understand. Like
it could be a whole bunch of things, not just domestic violence. It could even lead up to like being an alcoholic. You're not yeah. knowing how to, being addicted to a substance. You don't know how to express your feelings, so you create,
turn to something to numb them.
Yeah, you end up codependent on something. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at generational curses, kind of like, dang, bro, like this is really happening. And I could honestly say this pandemic exposed a lot mm-hmm. within yeah. our society and within different communities. I'm noticing a lot of people drinking a lot, drinking obsessively to the point where just to cope with the stress. Mm-hmm. And it's like very interesting to me to see people end up, the best thing they could think of is to drink instead of like,
or drugs of some yeah. other kind.
You know, people know me. I'm an advocate for marijuana. But through this pandemic, I have not overly smoked to numb the situation. If you drink and if you smoke your problems away, the problem will always still be there, sweetheart. This is an ongoing thing with me. I tell a lot of my friends that because, I mean, I'm not so much of a drinker, but a lot of my friends do drink. And it's interesting to me to be like, dang, like, out of all my friends, I'm probably the one that does not drink.
You drink the least.
Yeah, I drink the least. Like, I don't, and a lot of my friends know that. So, I have watched some of my friends drink through this pandemic like fish, yo. And I was like, whoa, man, this is getting kind of serious. To learn how to deal with what's going on in a healthy way. Sometimes like exercising isn't enough. Then you find another hobby. Don't stop until you find a hobby that works. Mm-hmm. Don't continue to do toxic things, because toxic things, it's the problem's always going to be there if you don't deal with it now, and it's going to create another problem. The only reason why people think drinking, people really think drinking's okay, is because it's legalized.
Yeah, only because of that.
And it's only because it's legalized. Because
it's poison. It's literal poison.
It's literally poison. poison. Like you get alcohol poisoning. Like people, have you ever heard of weed poisoning? Think about that. think about that. Have you ever heard of somebody overdosing on some weed? I have heard people get alcohol poisoning, drink until they pass out. Drunk drivers kill people. The only reason why our society thinks drinking is okay is because it's legalized. Alcoholism is the leading problem in America besides drugs. Alcohol is the biggest, and it's been the biggest for generations.
And it has to be a reason. Like, no, it's not solely men not knowing how to express their feelings, but like,
There's women alcoholics too.
Yeah. But it's the same though. Yeah. You get those like rough, tough families that like they treat the girls just like they treat the boys. Like, girl, you better not cry.
Yeah, you better not cry.
And that's, again, that's
And in our community, I think it's more of, since we've been through so much, we basically made that a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Suck it up. If you're a black child, you suck up. Even a black adult, you suck up what the world puts on your shoulders.
Because it's gonna be so much. Yeah. There's gonna be so much shit that's thrown at you that you gotta learn to stand tall. And yes, that is true. But you also need to learn when it's okay to let
your emotions go.
Just let it go. Like, but it's also a part of like having people in your circle who you can go to.
Like I was telling you, there's certain things that we don't talk about and that we need to as a community, that we mm-hmm. need to. And it will kind of, I think we're mostly scared of being embarrassed because we've been through so much. It's enough of the embarrassment. It's enough of this. Like, and that just causes more problems and more friction and more generational curses. You know, you have to start breaking cycles, and talking about it is the first step. I tell all my friends, I'm never ashamed of talking about nothing. You wanna know why? Because I've been through enough to be like, but that shit didn't break me. Mm-hmm. It just made me stronger, and it made me think about somebody else that's probably going through the same thing or even worse.
Yeah.
Like, I'm grateful about my life. I'm grateful for waking up every day, but like, I know if I'm dealing with certain issues as a black person and as a black female, I know there's another black person or another black female that's going through the same thing, or maybe even worse. So I don't judge anybody for what they do. I try to empathy is a big thing. I was told about empathy when I was 25, and I didn't care what this person was telling me at the time. I was so young and not naive, but when you're that age, you kind of like, what's this part? Yeah, whatever. But
you're worrying about what you're doing. Yeah. Not really about what's happening with somebody else.
Yes. So empathy was like, what? I know what empathy is. Now I know what empathy is at 30. And people that are younger than me, why do you keep saying turning 30 was a big thing? For you young babies in your 20s, when somebody tells you that they're 30 and their mindset has changed, at 30, you better take heed to that. When somebody's older telling you something that you need to hear, take heed to it and note it. Because they're not wasting their breath or just saying it just to say it. Empathy, back to empathy. When somebody goes through something, you have to put yourself in their shoes and look at it from every angle and understand it. Now, you know, some people, sympathy and empathy are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Which we talked about. We talked about that first episode.
Empathy, you empathize with that person. You understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Sympathy is feeling sorry. You don't necessarily feel sorry when you feel empathy. You want to hear what that person has to say. You want to uplift them and understand and let them know that they're not alone.
I feel like that's the key, is like, again, talking about like having people to go to, to about like your problems, but it be what we call a quote safe space, like where you can tell me all the things that are happening or tell me about this one specific thing, and I'm not gonna be like, oh well, that doesn't matter, that's not that bad. Like there's I don't know if you heard about the show 13 Reasons Why, but you know, about the girl who committed suicide, she's a high schooler or whatever, and after the first season came out, I remember being on Facebook and some friends, mutual friends, were debating about it, and one female we went to school with was like, oh, like how, like she's like blowing this way out of proportion, like I went through all that type, I went through the same stuff in high school and I would have never contemplated suicide. And it's like, well, first of all, like you were raped in high school, like that's a big deal.
Yeah,
like you were bullied in high school, that's a big deal. Like but to downgrade somebody's experience to be like, oh well, I've went through the same thing, like, and I'm like, I didn't feel any of those things that you felt. It's like, you can't tell me how to feel. Yeah. Like, you can't tell somebody else how to feel.
And that's what's wrong with our society. Just because of the
same experience.
A lot of people be like, oh well, oh that's not that bad. Like I keep saying, people are different and people take things differently. Mm-hmm. People.
It affects everybody differently.
Completely. Everybody doesn't react the same way. If everybody reacted the same way, this pandemic, people wouldn't be acting crazy.
No, because we'd all be doing what we're told.
Everybody be doing the same thing. Yeah. No, everybody's not doing the same thing. So for people to, like, you can't tell somebody how to feel about something. You have to put them in, you got to understand people are different. People process things differently. I handle things differently. You handle things differently. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing to me when people be like, oh yeah, you should, you this is how you should feel and this is how you should handle it. And it's like, you're not me. I think people be mad, hurt, and don't know how to heal. When you don't know how to heal from certain things, it's bad. That's why it's good to try to like heal the best way you know how. You feel me? Like, and have a support system. Like try to build in your circle a support system. May it be friends, may it be family. Some people don't have family. If you have great support system with your friends, create a safe zone. Mm-hmm. Me and you created a safe zone, and we've always had a safe zone, even from high school. Like, we created this safe zone with each other at a young age, so we never had that, oh, she's judging me for something. Mm-hmm. Nah. We've always been able to come to each other and talk about it, and we help each other heal through things. Even with our own experiences, I think, like, I can mention something to you and be like, oh, damn, that's okay. That's what that meant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy to hear people even say that, like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't feel this way. You shouldn't handle that. That's not you're not helping that person. No. You're actually making the situation worse.
I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, hey, like, oh, it's my fault that so-and-so is like, no, like, they made their choice. Like, you don't need to feel bad about that. Like, that's one thing, like, trying to, like, make somebody feel better and help them. But to be like, your emotions and your feelings don't make sense in this situation. You shouldn't be feeling that. It's like, no, like, just because it would have made you mad, but instead it makes me sad, doesn't mean that my sadness should be like tossed aside, like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's a big thing for me, at least, because I feel like I've dealt with that in many relationships where I was like, well, why are you mad at that? Why do you feel that way because of that? But I didn't, when I said, like, how could you feel that way? It's like, well, I can explain it to you if you would listen, but you are dismissing my feelings and not letting me get that out.
People don't value people's feelings anymore. I noticed that. Mm. Or you, like, when somebody comes to you and tells you something and being open, they're being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So some people will be like, oh, you're being sensitive, or but that person feels safe with telling you something. So that alone you should take heed to, but to tell them basically their feelings don't matter. Mm-hmm. Their feelings are not valid. You're hurting them even more than what they just went through.
Yeah. because I just went to you, somebody who's possibly a comforter, just for you to like dismiss what I'm feeling.
Just like with male masculinity and female was being downgraded, like you, it comes to a point where people commit suicide for things like this.
Yeah.
You need to have an outlet so that you, so people don't feel like taking their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like you shouldn't feel like you have nowhere to go. And I think that's the biggest problem, not listening and not hearing when somebody's saying they're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, when you dismiss that, it brings, like I learned and I read this article about people, it hurts more than physical pain when you emotionally hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, wow, because I've been there. I've been emotionally hurt so much in my past to where I was like, dang, even when I physically get hurt, I'm kind of numb to that.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, that reminds me of actually not what I was gonna talk about, but I was watching a show and there was, you know, it was a celebrity mom, and you know, her son came to her and was like, you know, I need to talk to you, like I've just been going through a lot. And she was so focused on like managing, you know, her artist or whatever, that she like kind of dismissed her son. He was maybe, I don't know if he was 18 or not, but he was around that age. And you know, the next day, you know, they found him dead and he committed suicide. And she felt like awful that she was like focusing on other people's kids when hers was right there underneath her telling, like asking for help. And that's the hardest part, is to actually say you need some help. And yeah. So when somebody finally does realize that, hey, like I'm in a bad space right now. I think I'm going to do something like regrettable, like, and you finally do go to somebody and they kind of like dismiss you and your feelings. Yeah. And you know, things happen or whatever. But again, going back on like where we started about, like, you know, men not being able to show their emotions, men not being able to cry, and I thought of, have you seen the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yeah.
So the movie's funny, whatever, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But there's a black character, the big black guy, and I think it's like the end of the movie or something, and like he starts to cry and he was like, you know, get back in there, and sucks his tear back up. Yeah. And of course it's funny, the kids are like, ah, he sucked his tear up, you can't do that. But it's like perpetuating
the
stereotype of black men not being able to cry. And I'm like, it's a freaking cartoon.
And it's still that.
And it's like the not even a cartoon can a black man cry.
Yeah.
He can't show emotion.
Not supposed to.
Like the end, the happy ending, he can't be like, oh my God, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Everything worked out. Oh. Like a single tear. Like,
nah.
And that be it. No, he had to suck his tear back up. And it's like, again, reminding me of my story of, you know, a little kid who is a super emotional little black boy, and something doesn't go his way, and he gets upset, and yes, it's like he's mad, and so now he's crying. He just bawls, screams, crying. Mm-hmm. Can't get him to do anything, can't get him to walk away or whatever, anything. He's just like there, mad. And his family, specifically males, telling him, you need to be a man, suck it up, like we're putting you in football. Yeah. So you can get it out, you can learn to be a man and not cry. And I come along and I'm like, you know what? You have these emotions, you have these feelings, you got a lot of them. Little boy with all these feelings, it's okay to cry.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to step outside for a little bit when you get to this point, let's go sit. We're gonna have 3 minutes where we cry. But then I'm gonna need you to wipe your face off, go to the bathroom, drink some water,
yeah,
do whatever. We need to compose ourselves and get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. So then when he got into that upset time, he'd come to me, we'd go outside, he'd cry 3 minutes, compose himself, and get back in there. And even I remember one day he like broke a pencil. He was pissed, and he's like, yeah, took it, got a pencil and broke it. And then later he was like, oh, I'm sorry I broke that pencil. Like, I was so mad, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather you break that pencil than go hit somebody with a book.
Yeah.
Because that was what he was doing the previous year, was hitting the other kids with items.
Yeah.
Getting kicked out of school.
You gotta challenge that. You gotta to learn how to channel.
Okay, well, now we're breaking a pencil, all right? We didn't get to the point where you just...
Yeah, get yourself
pissed and then off. Release it. Like,
you have to channel your energy into something positive.
But still, this little boy's 7.
Yeah.
He's emotional.
Yeah.
But he has only men in his family telling him he can't have these feelings. And he's already... Then he was small, so he didn't have a little man complex. Oh, like, yeah. It's like all these things. And they kept saying all that stuff in front of him. I'm like, you can't say that shit in front of the kid. Because even if he wasn't thinking that way, now it's put in his head to be like, oh, I'm little, so I have to be angry.
Yeah, I have to be
angry. Oh, now I'm this, so I have to be like this.
I have to give that perception that I'm hard.
Yeah, I have to put that off now. And it's like, no, it's not. But anyways, like, so I was the person that he would come to when he had those, like, overwhelming feelings. And it would be like, all right, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to sit here with you. While you let it out.
And sometimes they don't even need to cry, but they're so frustrated they feel like that's what they have to do because they don't know.
It's literally building up, and then the overflow is tears. And it's like, I don't know why I'm crying. It's just coming out.
You want to, like we keep saying, safe place for you to talk, to vent.
Mm-hmm.
Kids need that. Adults need that.
Yeah.
And, I think if it's always a safe place. Like, you have to have a safe place to, like, be able to talk to somebody and... You know, just get it all out.
Yeah.
Like, eventually he's going to learn how to vent before getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's seeing, like, okay, if I channel my energy in something else, and if I put this, like, yeah, he broke a pencil. But like you said, at least he didn't hit nobody. You see, coming to you and venting to you helped him so much.
Because,
he broke a pencil. Oh, well. People that get frustrated break pencils. I done broke a few pencils out of frustration.
Some adults still are punching people.
Yeah.
Because they got upset. They're like, oh, I just reacted.
Punching walls. I'm going to explain something. To every grown up that feels like, I'm going to punch a wall to prove some shit, you look like an ass. I'm going to explain something. Because I see it happen way too much. That's a toxic trait. People be like, oh, well, I didn't hit nobody. No, but you busting holes into shit that you gotta pay for. So really think about what you're doing. You not thinking about, oh, yeah, I'm gonna punch this wall. For one, you done fucked up your hand now.
Mm-hmm.
For two, you done put a hole in some shit and now you gotta pay extra money because you wanna look like an ass. That don't make no sense.
I watched my ex almost tip over his Suburban because he was so upset.
Yeah, that's $2 thinking. I brung it up to someone while I was driving home. When you think $2 thinking, you're gonna get $2 results.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanna act raggedy, you gonna get raggedy ass results.
I like that.
And I've learned this. It's a personal issue that I went through. That's my best friend knows. About the personal issue that I went through, and that shook my whole world. It made me look at everything differently.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go through a program because of this situation happened to me. But what I learned in that program, no, it wasn't rehab or nothing like that. Trust me, it was not. Smoke pot, thank you. But it was more of dealing with self-worth and how to get out of toxic behaviors. And one of the things that was said was $2 thinking. And when you're in $2 thinking mode, you get $2 results for real. You'll be in a $2 thinking relationship, which is just toxic, toxic, toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you think about doing, you wouldn't value yourself enough to even do it or chase your dreams because you're thinking $2, or you think you're not good enough. People that are wealthy don't think $2. Just put it that way. People that strive don't think $2 thinking. Some do, but most of the time that's very rare. And I think the $2 thinking comes from just toxic behavior that you learn. It gets handed down. For real, for real.
For real.
Like, $2 thinking it's handed down through family, friends. Your parents could tell you something, like, to suck it up and do this, and this is how you're supposed to act, and this is what you're supposed to do, knowing damn well that didn't help them in their adulthood. Mm-hmm. But they heard it from their parents.
Yeah, so you just,
and their parents heard it from their parents. You have to cut it from the root.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have kids, don't sit there and be like, well, my mama raised me. But okay, your mom raised you and your parents raised you off that. But did it really help you? Are you still dealing with generational curses? Did it help you healthy? Are you still dealing with traumas? That's where the like masculinity and not controlling your emotions comes from, even with females. It comes from how you were raised. Some people didn't even have parents, you feel me? So they don't know.
We're going to have to do a part 2 for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a part 2 for sure, because we hit our hour mark.
Yeah. So, you guys, good night, good night, good night. I hope you guys
have a good day, whatever time you're happen to be listening to this.
Because I know
this happens to be
listening and you're somewhere in the world. I hope your morning's great and your night is greater. Yeah, man. Keep tuning in, keep listening. Hope you guys take something from this. Mind you, this isn't advice. I'm just sharing my life experiences with you guys. So, yeah.
It's Trina and Mello signing off.
Signing off. Peace, love.
See ya.